his rediscovery. His books are studied as set texts at university. Major modern poets, from Kathleen Jamie to the former laureate Andrew Motion, acknowledge Baker's poetic genius. Commentators of various stamp, from the filmmaker David Cobham to the TV presenter and wildlife cameraman Simon King, hail his influence upon them. All of this is a remarkable achievement, particularly in view of Baker's personal circumstances. He was an Essex man, born and bred, living all of his days in what was then the small rural town of Chelmsford, largely at two addresses, 20 Finchley Avenue and 28 Marlborough Road. His parents, Wilfred and Pansy, were what might be called lower middle class, his father a draftsman with the engineering company Crompton Parkinson. The formal education of their only son at Chelmsford's King Edward VI School ended in 1943, when he was just 16 years old. His abiding love for poetry and opera were perhaps exceptional in one of his social background, but Baker Jr. seems to have had little or no contact with other writers and artists. His only literary connections flowed from Collins's eventual decision to publish The Peregrine and The Hill of Summer. It is, in many ways, confirmation of his extraordinary talent that the author's reputation rests entirely on two works, 350 published pages of prose, and in spite of their extremely narrow geographical focus. They describe a roughly rectangular Essex patch of just 550 square kilometres, which includes the Chelmer Valley from the eastern edge of Chelmsford, as far west as Malden and the confluence of the Chelmer and Blackwater rivers. At its heart lies Danbury Hill, the highest ground in Essex, with its glorious ancient woodlands of coppiced hornbeam and sweet chestnut. Baker country then runs down Danbury's far slope and on to the southern and northern shores of the Blackwater estuary, there to be extinguished in the dark silts at the North Sea's edge. Most of this countryside now lies within a commuter belt, less than half an hour from central London. Yet in Baker's day, it was a deeply rural district. Residents of the beautiful village of Little Baddo recall how their doors were left unlocked at night until at least the 1970s. Between the dawn and dusk of a single winter's day, Baker could traverse the whole area via a network of quiet country lanes. Throughout his life, a bicycle was his only means of transport. He never learned to drive a car. This concentrated focus on one patch reminds us very much of the life and work of a historical writer such as Gilbert White, or perhaps the poet John Clare. Yet simultaneously, the strict limit to his geographical explorations marks Baker out as a singularly important modern figure. In The Peregrine he wrote, "Before it is too late, I have tried to convey the wonder of a land to me as profuse and glorious as Africa." That he achieved this so brilliantly and excavated prose of such quality from what seems, on first acquaintance, a modest landscape, throws down the gauntlet to our own age. For a society now deeply sensitive to the issue of carbon usage, Baker is surely a shining example. His bicycle-bound territory is a model for future writers. His books strip back from the word parochial its accreted pejorative associations of narrowness and conservatism. He is parochial only in its truest sense. He illuminated the rich mysteries to be found in every parish in these islands. His two books on Essex landscape and wildlife are intimately connected with one another in terms of their style and content. They are, in some ways, very simple. They are books of encounter. They describe the wild animals, particularly the birds, that Baker saw and heard when he was out. They both draw upon his relentless foraging across the same landscape. However, while The Hill of Summer is a generic description of all his wildlife encounters between the seasons of spring and autumn, The Peregrine is distinguished by its close focus on one species, the fastest flying bird on Earth. During Baker's life, this glorious creature was no more than a rare winter visitor to his portion of Essex. Worse still, the raptor had endured a catastrophic decline in the second half of the 20th century. Fortunately, in recent years, peregrines have reversed the trend, climbing back to a population level probably not seen in Britain since the 17th century. It is once more a breeding bird, even in Essex. Today it is extremely difficult for us to recover fully the sense of crisis prevailing in 1960s Europe or North America. Yet to understand this book and its impact, we must remind ourselves how one of the most successful predators on the planet, exceeded in its transcontinental range only perhaps by ourselves